Hello and welcome to the Kim 8M podcast. My name's Caitlin Binder. I am joined today by the lovely Sabrina Lopez. Hi, Sabrina.
Hello.
Sabrina is a recent UCSC graduate. She has a lovely BS in MCD bio. Is that right?
Yes, that is
Yes.
correct.
Yes. And I just thought it would be fun to bring her on to read some chemistry with me. So we're gonna get right into it. Here we are. It's Chem 8M, UCSC, Experiment 2, Acid-Base Extraction of Excedrin Components. Learning objectives: understand the principles behind acid-base extraction, critical analysis of extraction techniques, analyze data to assess purity and success of experiment, understand the role of functional groups and acidity or basicity on separation, and lastly, predict sources of error and understand their effects on results. The solubility of organic compounds is primarily dependent on polarity. You may recall, like dissolves like, meaning polar compounds dissolve in polar solvents and nonpolar compounds dissolve in nonpolar solvents. It is safe to assume that most organic compounds of medium to low polarity have limited solubility in water. More polar compounds, like alcohols, are more likely to be soluble in water, but are only sparingly soluble when there are six or more carbons present in the molecule. In this lab, students will utilize acid-base chemistry to separate a mixture based on preferential solubility in water or ethyl acetate, ETOAC, a polar organic solvent. Excedrin is an over-the-counter, I just found a mistake. Excedrin is an over-the-counter analgesic containing the active ingredients aspirin, asp, caffeine, caff, and acetaminophen, ACE. That can be separated through acid-base extraction, figure one. So see the lab PDF for figure one.
Acids, HA, react with bases, B, to form a conjugate base, A minus, and a conjugate acid, BH plus. See figure two in the PDF that you have. It is likely that one or both of these products are ionic compounds, making them significantly more soluble in water than their non-charged counterparts. In this experiment, we will learn how to take advantage of this change in solubility for the separation of a mixture of acids and bases. The functional groups of interest in organic acid-base chemistry are strongly acidic carboxylic acids, weakly acidic phenols, and basic amines. Carboxylic acids are deep. Pause me, Caitlin, motherfucker.
Hey, I can't.
Carboxylic acids are deprotonated equally well by weak and strong bases, such as K2HPO4, and don't know what that sounds like in plain English, and NaOH, which sounds like some type of salt, respectively. The byproducts are different, but both reactions form a sodium carboxylate salt, haha, see, which is more water soluble than acid. Please refer to figure three in your PDF. In this experiment, the carboxylic acid in aspirin is deprotonated with dibasic potassium phosphate, that's K2HPO4, to initiate separation from acetaminophen and caffeine. More on this later.
See the lab PDF for figure three, reactions of carboxylic acids with A, weak bases, and B, strong bases. Phenols are significantly less acidic than carboxylic acids and do not react with weak bases. A strong base is required for the reaction to occur, I don't know what I'm doing, resulting in a water-soluble sodium phenoxide salt, figure three. Note that the extraction cannot be started with KOH as both aspirin and acetaminophen would react. Instead, the phenol in acetaminophen is deprotonated with potassium hydroxide after aspirin has been removed and separation from caffeine is complete. Keep reading to see how that works. In figure three in the lab PDF, reaction of phenol with strong base. Nitrogen-containing organic compounds, also known as alkaloids, tend to be basic. Amines and imines react with strong acids to form water-soluble ammonium chloride salts, see figure 4. Note that the double-bonded N in the imidazole ring below is more basic and gets the hydrogen instead of the single-bonded N. The latter nitrogen is not basic because its lone pair is tied up in resonance and not available to grab the hydrogen. This is analogous to the structure of caffeine. Though not utilized in this experiment, caffeine could be separated from acetaminophen and aspirin by treatment with a strong acid. See lab PDF for figure 4, reaction of imidazole with strong acid. When both acids and bases are present in a mixture, a liquid-liquid extraction is carried out, and at least one of the reactions above is performed. The mixture is dissolved in an organic solvent, and a solution of either acid or base is added. The unreacted component is extracted in the organic layer, and the reacted component, a salt, is transferred to the aqueous layer.
In this experiment, students will separate a mixture containing a carboxylic acid, aspirin, phenol, acetaminophen, and an amine, caffeine. The extraction can be started in one of two ways. One would be react the carboxylic acid with a weak base, or two, react the react the amine with an acid. Either way will theoretically work, but let's work through the example that starts with a mildly basic extraction. Refer to figure 5. The mixture is dissolved in an appropriate organic solvent, in this case, ethyl acetate or ETOAC, and this solution is extracted with a weak base. The organic layer, called org, contains unreacted phenol and amine. The mildly basic aqueous layer, denoted AQ basic, contains the carboxylate salt, the conjugate base of a carboxylic acid. The carboxylic acid is protonated with acid, thus precipitating from the solution and permitting isolation via filtration. The remaining organic layer is extracted with a strong hydroxide base to deprotonate the phenol, leaving the phenoxide salt conjugate base of phenol in the basic aqueous layer and the unreacted amine in the organic layer. The amine can be isolated by drying, example, sodium or magnesium sulfate, filtering off the drying agent and then evaporating this solvent in a rotary evaporator or rotovap. The phenoxide salt must be acidified, reprotonated, and extracted into ETOAC before being dried, filtered, and concentrated. Then we have figure 5.
That was awesome.
Oh, thank you. A similar procedure is employed in the separation of the three active ingredients in Excedrin. The active components are separated from the inactive ingredients through solid-liquid extraction with ethyl acetate, followed by filtration. Liquid-liquid extraction is used to separate aspirin, acetaminophen, and caffeine. The solution of active ingredients in ethyl acetate is treated with aqueous dibasic potassium phosphate, causing two layers to form in the separatory funnel. This weak base reacts with aspirin's carboxylic acid group, causing the extraction of ionized deprotonated aspirin into the aqueous layer, denoted as ASP-AQ. This layer is separated from the organic layer, denoted as org, which contains acetaminophen and caffeine as a solution in ethyl acetate. The deprotonated aspirin in the aqueous layer is treated with hydrochloric acid to protonate and precipitate aspirin from solution. Aspirin is then isolated by vacuum filtration.
The organic layer is treated with aqueous potassium hydroxide, KOH, This strong base reacts with ACE's phenol, creating phenoxide ions that are extracted into the AQ layer, denoted ACEAQ, or acetaminophen aqueous. This is separated from the organic layer, which now contains only CAF. The org layer is dried magnesium sulfate to remove residual water, then concentrated to isolate solid CAF. The ACE-AQ layer is treated with strong acid, HCl, to reprotonate the phenoxide, but unfortunately, ACE does not precipitate. Instead, an acidic aqueous extraction is performed. The acidic aqueous layer is instead extracted with ethyl acetate. God, who wrote this? Acetaminophen migrates into the organic layer, which is then dried, filtered, and concentrated to isolate solid ACE, or acetaminophen. Keep in mind, in each liquid-liquid extraction, there is no guarantee that 100% of the compounds end up in the expected layer. Refer to the pre-lab videos on liquid-liquid extraction. TLC will be used to determine the effectiveness of the separation of each component, and IR spectroscopy will be used to confirm the identity of each compound.
All right, gang. Good luck listening to the rest of this very hard to understand but very important organic chemistry. Okay, talk to you later.
Thank you, Sabrina. Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye. Get out of here.
Okay, bye. Okay. See you later.
Later, tater.
Okay, bye.
Okay, see the lab PDF for a breakdown. How does the remote lab work? What to do before, during, and after lab? Here we go to the procedure, baby. One, acid-base extraction. Follow along with the acid-base extraction diagrams on Canvas. All steps involving ethyl acetate must be performed in the fume hood. Solid liquid extraction of Excedrin's active ingredients. Okay, I'm recording. Good. Obtain the mass of a single tablet of Excedrin and crush using a mortar and pestle. Add 20 mL of ethyl acetate to the mortar and mix with a stir rod in the fume hood for 5 minutes. The three active components will dissolve and the starch binder, inactive ingredients, will not. Decant the solution into a small glass funnel with a small piece of cotton using a glass stir rod to aid in the transfer. Collect the filtrate directly in a separatory funnel secured on a support ring on a ring stand. Extraction with weak base. Add 10 mL of K2HPO4, aqueous dibasic potassium phosphate, it's a mouthful, to the separatory funnel. Cap, then invert the funnel twice, holding onto the cap. Vent into the fume hood by holding the funnel upside down and open the stopcock with the tip pointing away from your face. Continue to mix and vent frequently for at least 3 minutes. A chemical reaction is taking place and proper time must be given for components to travel to the preferred layer. Drain the mildly basic aqueous layer containing deprotonated aspirin into a labeled scintillation vial and set aside. The organic layer will remain in the SEP funnel. Extract the organic layer with an additional 3 mL of K2HPO4, add 3 mL, mix and vent for several minutes, then drain into the aqueous vial. The organic layer remains in the funnel. One student in the pair should move on to the isolation of aspirin using the combined aspirin aqueous extracts. Extraction with strong base. Add 10 mL of 1 molar KOH to the subfunnel. Mix the layers for 3 minutes, vent early and often into the fume hood. Drain the aqueous layer containing deprotonated acetaminophen into a second small labeled container, KOH, acetaminophen aqueous, and set aside. Extract the organic layer with an additional 3 mL of potassium hydroxide, which means add 3 mL of KOH, mix and vent for a few minutes, then drain the aqueous layer into the KOH ACE aqueous vial. Keep the organic layer in the funnel. Isolation of caffeine. Wash the remaining organic layer with 10 mL of aqueous sodium chloride, also known as brine. The wash means add brine to the funnel and mix for 1 minute before draining the aqueous layer. Separate the layers, draining the organic layer into a small Erlenmeyer flask that's labeled. The brine wash, aqueous, should be kept in a separate container labeled waste and transferred into the liquid waste at the end of the experiment. Use an additional 2 mils of ethyl acetate to rinse any residual caffeine from the walls of the SEP funnel. Remove any visible water from the bottom of the Erlenmeyer using a pipette. Dry the organic layer by adding 2 spatula tips of anhydrous sodium sulfate, Na2SO4. Allow the capped organic layer to sit with occasional swirling for 5 minutes. Move on to one of the isolation steps while waiting. Decant the organic layer using a small glass funnel with loosely packed cotton into a pre-weighed 50 ml RBF, also known as round bottom flask. Concentrate the dried organic extracts using a rotary evaporator, Rotavap. This concentrated caffeine extract may either be a liquid or a solid, depending on purity. Obtain the mass of caffeine by difference with the original flask, then transfer into a labeled vial. Isolation of aspirin. This step may be performed on a benchtop. Tear 1 2-inch piece of pH paper into many small squares to conserve and put the pH paper back where it belongs. Determine the pH of the K2HPO4 aspirin aqueous solution by dipping a stir rod into the solution, then touching to a small piece of pH paper on a watch glass. Obtain 10 mils of 6 molar HCl in a labeled test tube. Slowly add 6 molar HCl dropwise to the asp aqueous solution, swirling and taking pH readings after every 5 to 10 drops until the solution is acidic, pH 2 or less. Do not rush this process. Relabel the acidic asp aqueous. It may be necessary to get additional 10 ml portions of HCl. Please conserve and take only small amounts at a time. A significant amount of aspirin should precipitate, creating an opaque solution. Collect the product by vacuum filtration. I'm proofreading. Allow the solid to dry with a vacuum on for 10 to 15 minutes. Obtain the mass of solid, then transfer into a capped labeled vial, aspirin with your initials. Acidic extraction and isolation of acetaminophen. Carry out the same acidification procedure used to isolate aspirin. Label the vial acidic acetaminophen aqueous, the neutral protonated compound, the neutral protonated compound acetaminophen is in the aqueous solution and will be extracted with ethyl acetate. Transfer the acidic aqueous solution to the SEP funnel and add 15 mils of ethyl acetate. Mix and vent for 3 minutes, then drain the aqueous and organic layers to separate flasks. Extract the aqueous layer with an additional 15 mils of ethyl acetate, which means add 15 mils of ethyl acetate to the aqueous layer, mix and vent for several minutes, then remove the aqueous layer. Wash the combined organic extracts with 10 mils of brine. Separate the layers and dry the organic layer over anhydrous sodium sulfate for 5 minutes. Remove visible water from the organic layer by pipette, add the drying agent, and allow to sit with occasional swirling. Filter into a pre-weighed 50 ml round bottom flask, then concentrate using a Rotavap. The concentrated extracts may either be a liquid or solid, depending on purity. Obtain the mass of acetaminophen by difference, transfer to a labeled vial and proceed to analysis. Analysis. TLC. Standard RF values were obtained in experiment 1 and can be referred to without repeating this part of the experiment. Dilute a small amount, microspatula tip, of each component isolated in this experiment with 1 ml of acetone in a test tube. Analyze by TLC using 1 to 2 hexanes ethyl acetate with 1% acetic acid as a mobile phase. Visualize the plates under a UV lamp, circle the spots, and calculate all RF values. Repeat as necessary to obtain optimal results. For example, if spots are too large or smeared, dilute your samples. If lanes are slanted, be more careful when placing the plate in the jar and do not move the jar. IR. After TLC analysis, determine whether each of the isolated components are pure one spot. Do not attempt to take an IR spectrum of contaminated samples. Instead, take the IR of a standard. Compare your predicted IR spectra tables with lab mates. Instructions for predicting spectra are in the pre-lab questions. Obtain the IR of each pure compound using a Nuzhal mull. Grind the mull for at least 1 minute. Identify any peaks within the expected ranges based on the functional groups and bonds within aspirin, acetaminophen, and caffeine. See the lab PDF for Table 1 cleanup notes. For safety, hydrochloric acid and potassium hydroxide are corrosive and toxic. That's not good. Acetone and ethylacetate are flammable. Caffeine is a stimulant and not to be ingested or taken home. Do not look directly into the UV lamp. See the lab PDF for references and supplemental reading. Pre-lab questions. 1. Identify acetaminophen, aspirin, and caffeine as acidic, basic, or neutral. Indicate which functional group determines the acid-base properties of each. 2. What reaction takes place in the addition of dibasic potassium phosphate to the mixture of aspirin, acetaminophen, and caffeine? Show the chemical equation with full structures in support of your answer. Indicate whether each component should be in the aqueous or organic layer after the reaction. 3. What reaction takes place in the addition of potassium hydroxide, KOH, to the organic layer after pre-lab 2? Show the chemical equation with full structures in support of your answer. Indicate in which layer, aqueous or organic, each component should be after the reaction. 4. What volume of 6 molar HCl is required to react with or neutralize 13 mL of 1 molar K2HPO4? To neutralize 13 mL of 1 molar KOH, show your work. Yeah. 5, predict the IR spectra of aspirin, acetaminophen, and caffeine using the tables in the Experiment 2 worksheet and the steps below. First, determine each functional group in aspirin, acetaminophen, and caffeine. Next, use the IR table on Canvas to find the IR active bonds within each functional group and its expected wave number range. Be sure to list all bonds and vibrations. Functional groups may have multiple IR active bonds. Some bonds have two different vibrations. For example, CH bonds and arenes both stretch and bend. Don't forget to determine whether any double bonds are saturated or conjugated. Participate in resonance with a neighboring pi bond. The substitution patterns of the arene ring affect the CH bending vibrations. Use IR table 2 to determine the more specific range of CH bending frequencies. See the lab PDF for instructions on the pre-lab quiz, taking it before your section, your enrolled section, and that this is an individual quiz. See the PDF for the Experiment 2 worksheet that you'll work on during the lab. And then we have the lab report. In lab questions, 1, report the mass recoveries of acetaminophen, aspirin, and caffeine after isolation, including estimated uncertainty in balance measurements, ILE. Calculate the percent recovery of each component from the initial amount of Excedrin used. Show your work. 2, compare the recoveries above to the theoretical recoveries, experiment 1, pre-lab 1, and list the specific parts of the procedure where product may have been lost. Report and discuss TLC results. Make a table with the RF values for each spot in each sample. 4-column sample, I'm not going to read that. It's 4 columns. Identify each spot as acetaminophen, aspirin, or caffeine by entering the RF value in the appropriate column for each sample. Include standard RF values from experiment 1. Explain whether or not the separation was effective. 4, interpret the IR spectra of acetaminophen, aspirin, and caffeine. Type all 3 completed IR tables from the experiment 2 worksheet. No handwritten tables in the results section, please. Use 3 sentences, 1 per compound, to describe how the IR spectra can be used to positively identify each individual compound, unique stretches in each. 5, compare the results of Excedrin separation via column chromatography, experiment 1, and acid-base extraction, experiment 2, as follows. While one method may not be generally better than the other, there should be some differences in the points below. A. Restate the recoveries of each component by each method. B. Which methods produce greater amounts of aspirin, acetaminophen, and caffeine? Note that different methods could be more ideal for isolating different components. C. Which method yielded higher purity of each component as determined by TLC? D. Based on your results and discussion above, was column chromatography or acid-base extraction more effective for separation of Excedrin components? The next part is a description of notebook pages broken into acid-base extraction and analysis. And I think that's where I'm going to end. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you again to Sabrina for joining me, and have a lovely day. This has been Chem 8M UCSE, Caitlin Binder. I think that's it. Have a okay, bye.